I can smell it. It's Thursday in the air. The show is Insights. The host, I think I'm still Mark Farrell. Not feeling like Mark Farrell today. Still under the weather. Thanks for joining me. Listen every Thursday. Got a great show coming your way. Haven't you ever wanted to go back to camp? You're an adult. Don't you want to get out of the rut of your routine? Say goodbye to your wife and kids for a couple days? Well, you don't have to answer that one aloud if you're listening with your wife and kids. Say goodbye to work. If you're single, want to meet somebody, just get out of your own head. Leave the cell phones behind. But we're going to meet the founders of an incredible, incredible entrepreneurial idea called Soul Camp. Reminds me of Soul Train every time I say that. Soul Camp is a unique multi-day all-inclusive camp wellness sleepaway facility for adults who want to indulge in a lot of things in life. You can meet them in just a few minutes. Well, everybody's still reeling about the firing of the FBI Director Comey. Still cannot believe it. There's going to be hell to pay, number 45, Trump. I don't understand. I just don't understand how he can think and get away with firing somebody who's leading the investigation, head of the FBI, because he asked for more money yesterday, and we'll get to that. I'm not going to beat it like a dead horse, but I've never beaten a dead horse, so I don't know what that feels like. Actually, this is just new, brand new, right off the headlines. Trump just fired somebody else very, very important to our country, incredibly reflective of our history, especially with France. Trump just fired Lady Liberty until Trump was told that Lady Liberty is a statue, not a statute, Mr. Trump, a statue. But I'm sure Donald Trump does not know what a statute is. Probably doesn't even know what a statue is, unless it's of himself. Anyway, so on Tuesday, what were you doing on Tuesday? Did you partake in Grateful Dead Day? Did you light it up? Come on. All right. You don't have to shake your head or just and smile inside. Well, Tuesday was Grateful Dead Day, the 40th anniversary of the band's legendary Cornell show. If you haven't been there, if you weren't there, I certainly wasn't there. The Grateful Dead performance at Cornell University, it was May 8th, 1977. Certainly legendary performance among all diehard fans. And then there's a split of the diehard fans to say that was definitely the show of a lifetime, of their lifetime, of their band's historical performance. And then there's the other half to say, well, it was really good and deserves a title as the greatest performance, but maybe not the greatest performance ever for them. But it was a pretty cool day. I mean, when the Dead were willing to sacrifice big stage accessibility in the service of, like, mind-melting improv, but you can't deny, obviously, that 5-8-77 was certainly an incredible show. It set stage for them and a lot of other bands to come. So in honor of them, we have to have a little bit of good loving. Hit it, Kelsey. Yeah, I know this is not their original song. It's the Rascals, but they do such a great cover of the song. This is on most of my playlists. Check it out. If you can only bottle that, right? I mean, good love, and that's all what we need, right? Hugs, kisses, smiles, positive affirmations, feeling good about yourself. I only saw the Dead once, and it was pretty memorable. It was probably 1988, maybe 87. So I'm going into the parking lot. Last minute, my best friend, Harry Blanding, says, Mark, I got Dead tickets. Let's go. Sure, no problem. Now, I wasn't a huge Dead fan then, and I'm not one now. But certainly, number one, I never turned down free concert tickets. And number two, you know, seeing the Dead is not just a concert. It's a whole life-encompassing experience. You've heard about it. You've read about it. Most likely, you've experienced it because you listen to the Gary Noel Network. You're a progressive person. Progressive minds do progressive things and events, certainly on your downtime. So we're driving into an incredibly crowded giant stadium. And all of a sudden, we're driving, I don't know, maybe going 10 miles an hour. And my buddy Harry is driving, opens the door as he's driving, leans down, and all of a sudden, with one fell swoop, picks something up and throws it at me. And I'm like, what is this? And I'm sure we were a little tuned up at the time. So all of a sudden, I guess what happened was a bootleg t-shirt guy came running across from us. Maybe he was getting chased down by the cops or security, but he dropped some of his merchandise. So here we are with, like, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 bootleg Grateful Dead t-shirts. And I was stoked. So what we did was, whatever the shirts were being sold for, certainly we paid for our tickets. Even though my ticket was given to me by my friend Harry, of course, one of the greatest people that I've ever known in life. But it was fun. That's how our night started. And then maybe some natural substances that grow in forests and on grass were consumed. And it really, really impacted the night in a very positive way, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, it's a great show, The Grateful Dead. They're touring less nowadays. But I recommend seeing them because, you know, they are a major, major contributor to American rock and roll. Rock and roll said loosely from the band, certainly because their music is not traditionally rock and roll. It goes into a few different tangents. And if you're a fan of the Allman Brothers, I mean, Allman Brothers have the same, you know, 15, 20, sometimes even 30-minute jams. And so far, sometimes you get so deep into it, and then when they come back into the hook, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's the song they were playing. So other important stuff in the news this week, besides the celebration of Grateful Dead Day, was, you know, if you're listening on the West Coast, you certainly know about the debacles that take place in New Jersey and the tri-state area. If you're listening in the Netherlands or Scandinavia, wherever you may be outside the states, New Jersey is known to be one of the most corrupt states politically in the United States. And so on Tuesday, I just got the biggest laugh out of this because you'll see. Because you've heard of Bridgegate. Bridgegate was basically exercise by the Chris Christie, who's the governor of New Jersey, exercise in retaliation for the Fort Lee mayor, who would not support him, not endorse him. So long story short, they closed down a bridge, caused delays for I don't know how many hours. So consequently, Bridget Kelly, Christie's former deputy chief of staff, and William Baroni, the former deputy executive director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, are both going to be doing time. They are the scapegoats. I'm sure, and Christie has said this, you know, time and time again, nothing happens in my office without me executing it or knowing about it. So does he know about Bridgegate? Did he call for Bridgegate to happen? Was he the architect, the mastermind of this ridiculous, very poor judgment, invoking safety hazardous issued exercise? Absolutely. I totally agree about that. And that's why he is probably, actually, I think he is, the lowest ranked governor in history. I think his approval rating right now is in the low teens. I don't think he's sunk to like 10 or 11, but I think he's in a 15, 16, 17% approval rate. So he's a lame duck. So anyway, New Jersey Attorney General Chris Perona, who was hired, put in position by Chris Christie, listen to this, announced yesterday two new initiatives to fight public corruption, including a reward program offering up to $25,000 for tips from the public, as well as a program that offers low-level defendants in a corruption scheme the potential to avoid prosecution if they reveal the crime to the Attorney General's office so more culpable defendants can be prosecuted. Okay, so let's put this under a little bit of a magnifier. Sorry about squeaking there. I've been losing my voice. A lot of talks off the air. So what I just said to you about Bridget Ann Kelly and William Baroni Jr., they're doing time. They're the scapegoats for this whole Bridgegate ordeal. Now, the Attorney General of course, was instructed, maybe they concocted this idea together, Chris Christie and Attorney General Chris Perono, that we're going to look really good. We're going to look like the cops that are back in town, man, guns slinging, because he's a lame duck. He's signing a lot of legislative policies that make good sense, that he was totally against 2, 3, 4 years ago. And it is just absurd to an unprecedented level that they're rolling out these initiatives. Now, are these initiatives great? I think they're incredible. I think they are spot on. They will work. But the point is, the people who are initiating them are corrupt. So here I dare I say that it's almost so hypocritical that these two people, Chris Christie and New Jersey Attorney General Chris Perino, are expediting this when these two are so culpable, so guilty. And an attorney general is probably, you know, a little bit of a fall guy. But again, he holds a major title in New Jersey. As Chris Christie, the former U.S. Attorney General, would know, certainly what he can and cannot get away with. So it's really fascinating to see something like this rolled out, because right now, Bridget Ann Kelly and William Barone Jr. Were tried, sentenced, and they're trying to certainly get some lesser sentences applied, and there's still some things in work. Bridget Kelly is a mother, a single mother, I believe, of two or three. And William Barone Jr., I believe, is married as well. But, you know, he's not the mother. And this is not a sexist statement, but the reality is, you know, do you want to put a single mother away? The prosecution said that they had enough evidence, and obviously the juries agreed. But I certainly don't believe that. And a majority of New Jerseyans certainly are backing that. And the majority of Americans believe that Chris Christie is dirty. So they're rolling out this initiative, two-prong, and I think it'll do the state of New Jersey a lot of good, a lot of positive benefits, and also along with the bail reform that's happening right now. So basically, in short, the bail reform is that if somebody like myself, say, gets arrested for a DUI, I have no priors, I have a clean record, but for some reason, I can't afford maybe the $5,000 or $3,000 to get out on bail. A lot of people end up sitting in jail for months, 6, 8, 12 months or longer. So they become part of the problem. Obviously, it costs a lot of money to incarcerate anyone. But now for someone like myself, if this was me, I'm not a threat to society. I'm not a flight risk. But if given a second chance, it's very unlikely that I'll make this mistake again. So this program, this pilot program in New Jersey, bail reform, and a few other states, has been rolled out as of January 1st, 2017. And the results so far have been very, very good. And I think it's great that we're giving people a chance before prison can really wreak havoc on them. Because face it, if you're someone who is, you know, you've had a few bad breaks in life. I mean, think about this. I mean, we're all how many mortgage payments away from defaulting possibly, right? And you think about this, like that movie with Will Smith years ago. Oh, I have no idea the name. Not even close to being on the tip of my tongue. Basically, he loses everything. He's trying to sell this invention. A true story. But he makes it. But, you know, he was sleeping in the shelter. His child was sleeping in the shelter. I mean, it's not unforeseeable, unfathomable, certainly. In this day and age, certainly with people defaulting, leveraging much more and borrowing much more money than it can possibly afford. so that's the case there. So but going back to the whole two-prong process here by New Jersey Attorney General Chris Perino and Governor Christie, I want to read you a quote. Quote, by implementing the anti-corruption reward and anti-corruption whistleblower program for a relatively short time frame, we are hoping for a quick and decisive action by anyone with knowledge of public corruption by elected officials and government employees, end quote. So they want you to call the DCJ hotline. So get out a pen. Come on now. 866-TIPS-4CJ. 4, the number 4, C as in criminal, J as in justice. Again, that's 866-TIPS, T-I-P-S. 4, the number 4, C as in criminal, J as in justice, to speak with corruption detectives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because they are on it, man. Because they will not tolerate any more corruption in the state of New Jersey. Yes, because with these two initiatives, it's going to rectify all corruption by two great corrupt masterminds in the state of New Jersey. That's all I got on that. I got to move on. But I had to bring this to you because it's just, you know, you can't make this stuff up. You know, these guys are as guilty as you can be thrown. I mean, I know Chris Christie's, you know, lost a lot of weight, but he still can't be thrown that far. But it's just so hypocritical. And you know what? It would be nice, especially when you read about what happened yesterday with Trump firing FBI Director Comey to save his ass. You know that. It's all going to come out. Everything's going to come out. It's just a matter of time. And of course, the both sides of the aisle, legislators are calling for a completely independent study and an investigation of what happened. But that's going to be difficult as well, because, you know, everybody in Washington has an agenda. No matter who you put in the room, they are representing someone or something or some force and bankrolled by something. I'm not trying to get into a conspiracy thing here. You guys know, you're an intelligent audience. That's how the world works in terms of politics. But it would be nice, because you know what? Lately, I've been, my wife's been asking me about this lately, because I'm actually residing back in the town where I grew up, Freehold, New Jersey. Really quaint town that's really thriving. It's a little tiny metropolis. They actually have 3 Indian restaurants, sushi restaurants, and buzzing commerce. And it's really come a long way because my wife is Indian, and I always make fun of her. I can't believe I'm in a town where I grew up where there's 3 Indian restaurants, sushi restaurants, you know, gourmet restaurants, like high-end restaurants, and thriving commerce, and a town that has jazz fests, street festivals. It's amazing. It's amazing. So anyway, she's like, you should get involved in politics. I'm like, you know, I'm not a political person. I'm a real straight shooter. As you know, you listen to the show, I call a spade a spade. I'm certainly sensitive of people's feelings, but that's a different category. But it would be nice, and I'm going to consider this, if you can actually be in, and you got to call it politics, government, say, local government or on a national basis. Well, we'll start with local, because national, that's a whole nother topic. And not be political. You're doing it to serve the community. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's how much more unequivocally, well, can you put it? I mean, you want to serve the community, the people. You want to benefit the community, the services, the actual functionality of a community, whether it's logistical, the physical beauty of it. And for the children. I mean, it takes a village. All right. I digress, but that's enough. I mean, let me know what you think. I'm not going to run for any office, maybe like a councilman or something like that. But, you know, it's this is a very, 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 very infinitesimal seed is planted in the back of my head. So as I mentioned to you before, you know, how would you like to go to a camp that features live entertainment and a speaker series where you can escape and listen to inspiring and empowering soulversations? You're going to get at the vernacular explanation of that soon from wellness experts and thought leaders in the fields, and where nights consist of town shows, fear burnings. Yes, fear burnings. Put those fears on fire and light them up, baby. Late night discos, s'mores, sign me up. I'm there already. And live entertainment. The camp is called Soul Camp, and we're going to meet the founders right after this. Now you gotta let your soul shine, just like my daddy used to say. I grew up thinking I had it made, gonna make it on my own. Life can take the strongest man, make him feel so alone. Now sometimes I feel a cold wind blowing through my aching bones. Wow, the show's Insight. My name is Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network. Happy Thursday to you, my friends. 21 past the hour, and we have a great show continuing with two guests who have started something very, very amazing. And I got to read your quote. Your cells will be vibrating and integrating everything that occurred at Soul Camp for a couple of weeks. Trust that you may not feel like yourself for a little while. That's a good thing for me. It's a natural part of process as you integrate all the new aspects of you. I'd like to welcome Allie Leetsbig. And I just screwed it up. I just had it perfectly before the
it's
show.
It's okay, Mark.
And Michelle Goldblum to the show, co-founders of the incredible camp, Soul Camp. How are you,
Soul
ladies?
Camp.
We're fantastic. Happy to be here.
Yes, thank you.
I'm happy to have read about it on the Book of Faces, as Michelle so articulately put it, because it's so true. And we find out about great things of this caliber so many times online. And when I read about it, I'm like, wow. You know, you hear about like Tony Robbins retreats, and those are very high end and geared at different and well established and well meaning aspects of what people are searching for in life. But sometimes, especially in metropolitan cities like you are based in New York, a great hub, you have two upcoming camps which we'll talk about. But this is just a great way to kind of, you know, find yourself. If the worst case scenario, you're going to go out and have a good time.
Yeah.
Because people need to just put down everything in their life, digital devices, and go jump off a dock and not care and be in a drum circle and leave your phone somewhere else and eat great food, meet very interesting people, especially, you know, in New York and out in LA. And, you know, there's such an eclectic mix of people. And it's so true from what I've read. It sounds like it's a very transformational experience. So which one of you want to explain and articulate the transformational experience? What could and is likely happening to people when they go to Camp Soul?
Yeah, so
Soul Camp.
Yeah, so this is Michelle, and I can talk a little bit about what is Soul Camp. So we laugh and we say it's a mix of transformation and trampolines, because we take over actual sleepaway camps or day camps, and we bring in 30 to 40 incredible teachers, speakers, authors, and all things alternative health, improv, astrology, numerology, intuition workshops, relationships.
Intuition
workshops.
Wow. Yes. Does anybody even talk?
Everybody walk around in silence.
Exactly. Yes,
no. It's at a camp, and we also have like trampolines and water slides and horseback riding, and you know, everyone stays in bunks and cottages together for the overnight camps. And so it really is this mix of all of these different healing modalities that people are learning from hour to hour. We have about 50 workshops happening a day that you can pick and choose from.
Great programming.
It's amazing programming. It really is.
And these are typically 4-day stints.
Our overnight camps are 4 days, 4 nights, and this year we're launching day camps June 10th in New Jersey, which is super exciting.
You get a little backpack with your name on it?
You have a little cubby. You have a little cubby.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And then June 24th in Chicago. So we're bringing really the huge essence of Soul Camp in that 4 day, 4 night to a Saturday. So it's just much more accessible for a lot of people.
Who would have guessed the genesis of this started as youngsters, because you became friends at a camp. Tawanda. And where was that located?
That was located in the Poconos in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. And Michelle and I actually, so this is Allie, we knew of each other, but we weren't the same age. So we were like in the same summer camp 8 weeks every summer, but weren't friends.
Coincidentally.
Coincidentally.
I'm doing little quote marks. Yes, coincidentally.
And then we met 15 years later here in the wellness scene in New York, like you said, eclectic group of people. And I had no clue there'd be another Jewish girl from my summer camp that was doing this mind, body, spirit cardio workout called Intensati.
Yeah,
that's how we met.
Allie spotted me in a flash mob in Washington Square Park. That's literally how we reconnected.
That's great. How many years ago was this?
Probably 5-6 years ago now. Yeah, and we had...
The epiphany happened right then?
It didn't happen right then. We became best friends, and we each owned, quote-unquote coincidentally, branding agencies in the mind-body-spirit space. So all of our clients were life coaches and nutritionists and all of that.
So you got out of the camp field, but you're still in that field of marketing, et cetera, and the digital platform, and you're creating websites, et cetera.
Exactly. And just by nature of that, we were always going to different retreats and different
seminars.
And one day we were both in Cape Cod at a family constellation retreat, healing our ancestral wounds.
Really? And, sign me up.
Yeah, it's taught
cool.
at Soul
Camp. We can tell
camp.
You about that. Yeah.
Taught at Soul Camp. And the man who owned the sleepaway camp that we went to as children saw that we were both away and reached out and was like, you can bring a 30-person yoga retreat here to the beautiful campgrounds that you grew up in. And we were like, how about we create a camp? And that is how it started.
And that's the birth of Soul Camp.
Yes. Yeah. We were just overflooded by inspiration and we got on the phone and, all the nostalgia comes up for us at least. Like we were like, we got to get Ron DeGon, who was like this like old guy playing guitar by the fire. We're like, we have to get this and this and this. And
fireside chats at night. I mean, that's phenomenal. So interestingly enough that you both have a lot of experience in the field, very similar, but also a little bit of a certain different expertises. Ali, you're a body expert coach in terms of building confidence?
Yes. Explain so I was that, doing that before Soul Camp. So in that, I was working with clients one-on-one and blogging and sharing on my blog just all around body positivity and love and acceptance. It's something that I struggled with and still struggle with, my body image. And I believe that we need to have that continual positive conversation with ourselves. So I was helping clients with that.
Body image, let's go there for a second because especially in New York City, people are just surrounded 24/7 with ads. You're waiting for the bus. I mean, scrolling bus stop ads, and in a cab, you have a taxi TV. I mean, every digital device, you go shopping for, God forbid you go on Nordstrom or JCPenney to look at boots, they tracked you, they identify you, they're stamped, your DNA, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's all about beauty, whether it's the apparel side of beauty or the weight that you want to lose or think you should lose because of everything you're surrounded about. What's your input on that?
I mean, it's really interesting because we live in a society that says there's this one way, especially for women, but I know this applies to men too. Like, this is what beauty looks like. And if we don't fit into that mold, even if we believe that we're beautiful or pretty, there's still this tape that goes on inside our heads that tells us if we aren't this, then we're not good enough. And whatever that looks like for people, but it's continuous and sometimes really, like you said, we're like seeing these images constantly and it's such an unconscious thing that it happens. So that voice gets really loud for
people. Ali, do you think we've made a little bit of strides with plus size models gracing billboards in Times Squares and on magazine covers?
I think it's changing. And
slowly
but surely. And it's just so interesting to think about, when I've visited different countries, I've had such a different reaction to just my body size and even just seeing the culture there. It's like so fascinating. Like people
in a positive way?
In a positive way, right? So, and here in America, it's so different. Like growing up, the boys only liked one certain body type and it was a culture that we grew up in that way. Yeah.
It's funny because I have two kids, a 7-year-old boy who's, sometimes will say to me, well, that'll make me fat. And I don't know where he hears this from, but, we want to let him know the importance of eating properly and the taboo of just saying somebody's fat, et cetera. And it's a healthy thing. It's not a body size thing. And, he gets it because obviously he's a sponge and, we all pick up things no matter how old or young we are. But it's something that obviously Soul Camp offers. And so talk about some of the things that people have some difficulty relinquishing, possibly their phones or iPads, posting on social media. You have an acronym, FOMO?
No FOMO at Soul Camp.
Yeah, no FOMO at Soul Camp. But it is interesting. As adults, we go about our life and what we say to so many people is we've lost that essence of like what fun really even is. Like fun becomes like, oh, I went and I drank on the lake this weekend, or oh, I got this promotion, or I got the date, or whatever it is. And that essence of fun that comes from nothing,
the stripped down version
of fun, we've lost it. We've lost it as adults. We don't even remember. I mean, when we see a puddle in the street, we do everything to avoid it. Like jumping in the puddle and like having that thrill, that doesn't even come into our minds anymore. It's like, oh, these are all the reasons why I can't jump in the puddle, right? And so at Soul Camp, we really introduce again, like just different experiences where people can feel that fun from within. But yeah, like a lot of adults can't imagine like taking 4 days or even sometimes taking one day for themselves. Right? Like that's a big thing that we see, like the guilt that comes from taking that time to just nourish and nurture themselves from within and give themselves like all of the fun. They should be doing X, Y, and Z with all of their free time. And it's so important to give yourself the experience of rediscovering who you are the stripped down version, as you say, right? What does it feel like to have fun without, because, right?
Because and all these materialistic items things. Around you.
Exactly. Imagine if you could just feel that all the time, no matter what you had or didn't have.
It seems to me, Allie, maybe you can answer this, it's more the end result of being programmed and regimented for, you know, a lifetime. I mean, look at kids nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, all the different after-school programs, these sports, these scholastic things. And so there's got to be a soul camp for them when they get older.
Totally.
Because it's just, you know, we're programmed, and even more so. So, you know, we need to just unplug. And whether it's soul camp or you need to just realize how involved 24/7 people are and to bring it down.
Totally. And what happens when people get away from that routine that they're so used to? Like you said, since we were kids, we're so overscheduled now. I mean, even when I was a kid 20 years ago, like I had an activity after school every single day and then homework and this, and never had that time to like really play. And I bet it's becoming more prevalent now. Mm-hmm. So when people get those 4 days to like just have space to like first release and let go of all the stress that they've been holding on to and then discover it's almost a practice of mindfulness, of being aware of like actually what's in front of them, the beauty that's right there right now.
And of course there's even a greater good to this, because people can actually delve deep into themselves and do a little bit of therapy, because we have Mamaste. Like Mamaste. And Michelle, I think the apple didn't go too far here. Your mom is the on-site psychotherapist.
Yes. And, you know, it's amazing. I grew up, my mom ran a spiritual retreat center growing up where we would have like kirtan and yoga and eating Ezekiel bread. And I grew up just in this environment where there was all these different activities going on, you know, week to week. And we would always have community gathering week to week and saw the magic and the healing that comes from being in community, all engaging in something incredible. So yes, the apple does not fall far from the tree in that I learned that from her. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have her and we have other psychologists on staff, like just because there's so much healing going on. You know, we have healing inner child stuff and past life regression and, you know, stuff comes up. So we wanted just to make sure it's a really, really safe container for everyone who's there.
So I'm totally a proponent of therapy. I was in it for years. Yeah. Love it. It's like, you know, you just, it's like taking out the trash.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do it. You know, sometimes you don't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
But when you get it out to the curb, you're like, oh my God, I'm lighter.
Yeah.
I feel good. So, but the honest question here is that, okay, you get people, say, off New York City bus. They're there for 4 days. The first day, they can still be rigid. You know, their walls are still up. Yeah, they're sleeping in a bunk or in a cabin with other people. Yeah, they're feeling a little bit. Maybe they're not really embracing all the hugs that much, but they're getting there. But whoa, how many people feel the value in talking to somebody they know they're possibly not going to see again, or maybe not again until next summer, and unleash and unload all this baggage, or a partial, a small carry-on?
Yeah, I think that if people are coming to Soul Camp, there's a part of them that already is willing and able to do that. But, you know, we've had, there's a man that comes to mind that came to camp and, like you said, embracing the hugs. There are a lot of hugs when people get off the bus. And he was just like, whoa, what is going on? What did I sign myself up for? And we just, it was totally fine. We were just like, do your thing. Like, you don't need to hug. It's okay. And by the end, and we also have, this is funny, we have a glitterati station right when they get off the bus. So if someone... We call it the glitterati. So if people want glitter
like
on their face.
Yeah.
They can get some glitter. And by the end, this man, he said no. He said, no glitter for me. I don't want any. And then the last day, he ran up to the person who was doing glitter on people's faces and was like, give me some glitter. Arms wide open.
Oh, nice. Like everyone's like applauding.
Yeah.
It was
That's
amazing.
Great.
He was just became so much more open-minded and realizing like it's that ego self that just melted away.
Yes.
Yeah. And some people come to camp and they're like, okay, every single activity period, I'm going to be doing yoga or cardio. Like, that's what I'm going to be doing, because we have yoga and cardio classes
structured
every single.
Sure.
And then by the last day, you see them in breath work. You see them getting Tibetan bowl healing. Like, they really were able to kind of let go and
so
explore new things.
Tibetan bowl healing.
I feel like you could just
tell. Okay, so yes. Tibetan bowls are those like brass bowls. You might see them in those new age stores.
Are you saying bowls, B-O-W-L-S?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought you said balls.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no.
Tibetan bowl. That might be my Jersey accent. I don't know.
I'm sorry. That's just naturally where my mind goes.
Tibetan balls. Tibetan bowls.
I was wondering if they were bigger or smaller than American bowls.
Bowls come in all sizes.
Yes, they do. And they all need to be loved.
Yes.
And they all have soul.
Our instructor, Kathy Hamer, she's incredible. She is a master in Tibetan bowls. And what they do is they all, when you put a different, what's it called, like a mallet, yeah, around, and it creates a vibrational sound. And that sound is meant to hit
sound.
Different
yeah,
parts
sure.
of your body in different ways. And she puts a warm water in them and puts them on your body and totally just like relaxes and helps you release whatever needs to be released. But it's also just super relaxing. There's also things called sound baths or gong baths that it's all about vibrational healing and sound.
Yeah.
Allie and Michelle are the co-founders of Soul Camp, and their first camp in New York City is happening in just a couple weeks in June. And if I can find the date, I will let you know.
Can I jump in and
jump
tell
in.
You?
Take it away.
June 10th in Stanhope, New Jersey.
Found yes. it. Yes, yes. Stanhope, New Jersey. And again, coming back in August, starting on the 23rd of August.
Yep, in correct. Lake George.
Also in Illinois. Where is it going to be in Illinois?
It is going to be in Lake Zurich, Illinois.
Ooh, nice.
In June 24th.
I'm feeling like a flyaway camp. And then where are you going to be in California in October?
In a beautiful place, Wonder Valley. It's at the foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountain range, October 24th through 28th.
Now, that's got to be a fun scouting aspect of the job.
It is.
It's the
okay,
best.
Allie, where do you want to go next? Oh, I know. Maybe we should go to Costa Rica, Michelle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Let's go there.
It's
yeah.
especially fun when we start dreaming internationally, like Soul Camp Bali. Let's
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, price tag is a little bit more involved, of
yes.
course, but the message and the exercises like the love wall. What is the love wall? Because my imagination has just run amok.
The love wall is a place for, so we are a tech-free camp. So instead of sending text message to each other, we created the love wall, which has everyone's name on an envelope on the love wall. And then if you want to share a message with someone, if you want to honor someone for something that they did or thank them for something, you can leave a note and then you get to take your love wall envelope at the end of the
That's
camp.
Great.
Yeah.
Reminds me of being back in college. Remember how they dry erase boards on people's door?
Yep,
exactly.
Because,
you know, you couldn't call anybody. Mm-hmm. You're like, where are you? I'll be at the keg party.
Yeah,
second
exactly.
floor, upside down on keg number two.
This will be like the kombucha station.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever the hell you just said.
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Kombucha? Yeah.
Can you spell that?
K-O.
I'm just checking.
Oh. Yes.
So tell me about some success stories. Because people come here, they want to get away for whatever reason. They obviously want to maybe find something that maybe they had before, or maybe discover something that they don't know what it is, possibly. Mm-hmm. So any revelations or any people come to mind, any stories, and also maybe possibly because when you're there for 4 days, you're gonna be attracted to somebody.
We have a love story we can share.
Yes. I'll share a transformation story first.
Thanks,
one of my favorite transformation stories. The very first year, 2014, we at the camp that we did it at, there was someone working in the administration office. She wasn't even a soul camp. She was there for purposes of behind the scenes for the camp, not even for soul camp. And she weighed probably 350 or so, 330 pounds. And you could see that she was just so unhappy. And Allie and I just fell in love with her. We were just like, oh my gosh, we pulled her out of the office and we're like, please just go to this one class. It was Intensati with Patricia Moreno. Please just go to this one class. She went to this one class, and because it's Soul Camp, she was able to then take a walk with Patricia down the dirt road afterwards. That's like what happens at Soul Camp. And, Mel, over the last 2-3 years, she has lost 170 so
wow.
pounds.
Good for
she
Mel.
She went. She quit her job. She went back to school.
Quit the
She's
job working
at the camp. Exactly. Quit the job.
Look, the good with the bad, right?
Quit the job. Went back to school. Is getting her master's. Yeah, in
Fantastic.
Eating disorders. And
really,
it's amazing. And she's in love now. And she just
by just one simple
that
action.
One action. That one
That's
action
incredible.
By choosing herself. And it created a ripple effect that is now affecting so many people because Mel is such a different person now. So yeah. I love that.
I love that
story.
Allie, certainly as a body coach, confidence coach, I mean, that must be your dream.
Yeah. She really woke up to the power that she had inside of her. And Patricia always laughs and is like, I would never say something like this normally, but on their walk, she just was like, you are so powerful. You created this body right now. Like, you can choose another reality. You have the power to do that. And she just was like,
she got it.
She woke up and was like, holy shit, I can choose something else. So, yeah. That's amazing.
Okay. That's an amazing story.
Now, I've gotten a few texts when I promoted this earlier in the show and teased it. Somebody was asking a very, very significant and poignant question about Soul Camp. And I'm going to just refer it to you, relate it to you in one word. Alcohol.
None.
It's amazing. We're out of time. Thank you very much for coming.
You know, the first year, I'll never forget. So we have a DJ,
no alcohol, no drugs.
I know when we get a lot of questions like, so Soul Camp, is there mushrooms there? Yeah. No, we get high on our own supply at Soul Camp.
In tie-dye shirts.
Yeah, in tie-dye shirts. But the first year, the first disco, we have a huge raging disco and it's amazing. And people were running up to us like after dancing for hours and being like, I can't believe I'm sober. I cannot believe I'm doing this sober.
It's possible.
And showing people that they can have these incredible experiences, showing people that they can have real conversations, being authentic and showing who they really are without a substance, just as they are, is amazing.
Well, I mean, that's like therapy. Obviously, people drink alcohol, use drugs for multiple reasons. A very small percentage actually do it probably just to feel good, not to self-medicate and or, you know, keep those murky waters at bay. So obviously that would defeat the purpose of going to Camp Soul. Camp.
Exactly.
Why am I like flipping that? I have
no
idea.
It's the same thing.
That's amazing. So talk about the transformational process. I mean, there's quotes on your website. Of course, your website name is soulcamp.
It's actually soul.camp. No .com. It's a .camp.
Ah, it's a .camp.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like
cutting
that.
Edge.
Even more unique and original. So let's talk about, you know, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, soul versations. That's obviously a unique vernacular term that you came up with. And define soul versations.
So our soul versations are our 30-minute TED-style talk series. So these are where the instructors were usually, you know, on a platform or teaching a workshop or just teaching a certain modality. They get to share their story and people get to casually listen around the campfire. So those are our Soulversations, and we record them and have a program on our site where you can purchase them after if you haven't gone to camp.
So you can actually purchase the one that was at your camp and obviously preceding ones, older ones, archived.
Yeah.
So I got something for you.
Hit us.
Present for you today.
Yeah.
It's not a physical, because I know you guys aren't into materialistic items. Ready?
That's debatable.
It's another vernacular for your soul camp. It's called soulnacular.
Soulnacular. I love that. Soulnacular. So we should have like a dictionary page in our program.
That's
soulnacular.
Yes.
That's great.
Oh, that's actually
genius. I think we're
going to
do it.
Mark.
Do I get a little bit of credit? A soul t-shirt or a soul camp t-shirt.
We can bring you a tie-dye shirt.
We'll definitely send you a tie-dye.
Hugs. You know, I got to get something. So talk about the demographics, ladies, Michelle and Allie, because obviously you're going after a segment of the population. It's probably in their, I'd say, 20s to late 40s that are looking to embrace something. And I would say a majority of people are single. Does that sound about right?
Well, interestingly enough, the majority of our demographic is actually in their 40s. We definitely have people in their 20s, definitely have people in their 30s, but 40s is our, you know, mid to late 40s
is
our main demographic. We have a lot of people in their 60s that come.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. One of our favorite stories is like one of the women, she was, I think, 63, came running up to us the last day of camp one year with tears running down her face. Being like, I can't believe that at age 63, I met my best friends. And like that moment of just seeing no matter what your age, you can find your soul tribe or your soul community was so amazing. But yeah, we have a wide ranging demographic, mostly women by nature of the wellness industry, being mostly women. But yeah, the age range is different than
In terms of relationship status, it's really mixed. So we have some people that are single, some that are newly divorced that come, and then also that are in relationships and just want, you know, a little me time.
And we have a couples bunk too. So we have we have men and women, or you know, men and men, or women and women who come together to camp to experience it together, couples.
That's great. Yeah. How many at a typical 200 or 300 camp would you get a couple? Couples.
Not too
many.
Yeah,
like about like five couples.
Oh, yeah, great. Different couples.
Well, that's nice to see, because obviously they can do healing together, a transformational process together, because if one goes away and the other one doesn't, it could be like, actually one of the things that more interesting things I was reading about is coming home and the urge for anybody who went to Soul Camp to stand on the mountaintop and like yell about everything, all their experiences. And the person, I don't think it was either Allie or Michelle yourselves, who responded, but it's mostly like kind of keep it to yourself, because you kind of let it marinate. And also, if you're not actually there experiencing it, it's like trying to tell somebody about the greatest movie you've ever seen. It's lost in translation. It all comes down to an experience basis.
Totally. And I think this is happens on when anyone begins a spiritual path. They're like, I found the answer. And they might not have found the answer yet. They just found the next step for them.
It works for them. May not work for myself or my...
Exactly. But then you get so excited and happy, you want to spread this to everyone, but not everyone wants to hear it. So that's why we suggest that. And especially the 4 days at camp are really mind-blowing for people. And it takes time to... We use the word integrate, just to really like have it settle in your bones and to integrate back into like who you are in the real world. And that's why that's really beneficial, to kind of like just keep it to yourself.
Understandable. I mean, and also, you know, you can tell them about the volleyball, the paddle boarding, the late night dance parties, the fireside hangouts, the walk down the dirt road with who?
Patricia Moreno, amazing.
Yep. Horseback riding. I mean, in the 24/7 canteen.
Stocked with all healthy goods.
And a cookbook that you guys, a Soul Camp cookbook. I mean, you guys are on a roll.
We're on a roll. The food at Soul Camp is really amazing. We make sure of that because we know how important being nourished is, especially when you're, A, out doing activities all day, and especially when you're doing healing type activities.
Now, Allie and Michelle, if I do come there, can I get extra gluten on the side?
We'll top everything with gluten free.
Everything looks like it's blank free.
We have a lot of options.
Options. Yeah. We always say, because we have vegetarian and vegan options, we're like, and lots of meat for you meat lovers.
So looking down the road for Soul Camp, how would you like to evolve Soul Camp, and demographically, logistically, programmatically?
Well, I think what we see is Soul Camp day camps all over the place, and then Soul Camp specifics for family, Soul Camp specifics for young girls with body image, Soul Camp specifics for relationship, right? Just really getting particular and specific in the content. But we want the day camps in every state across the country, and then ultimately beyond that too.
And in terms of demographic, just letting this be accessible to anyone that is desiring this. So creating funds so that we can give scholarships to people who can't afford an experience like this.
No, that's great.
That's definitely in our mind, and why we did the day camps, because it's, you know, the sleepaway camps, the tickets start at $12.99. For some people, that's nothing. For a lot of people, that's a lot.
And that's all inclusive.
That's all inclusive, yeah. So for a vacation for some people,
except
that's great.
Except for like great. Massages, spas. And
But acupuncture is included.
But the day camps are $99 for 1 day, so that's our first step in really making much more accessible.
So how many when you host it, whether it's in New York, Illinois, etc., what percentage are day campers?
Well, we have this is our first year doing the day camp. So we're anticipating around 200 to 300 day campers, maybe a little bit more. So that's kind of what we're seeing in terms of the trends for the day camp. And then for the overnight camp, it's more like 200, 250.
Is there anything, obviously being entrepreneurs and being in different businesses, but coming together with both your expertise and business acumen, that you didn't foresee that naturally evolved in something that was so positive in the Soul Camp that just kind of naturally and organically, no pun intended, happened?
I mean, I think Soul Camp, to like the the entirety of Soul Camp. When we
just
did
the sum of Soul Camp.
When we did it that first year, we always joke our website was www.soulcamp2014.com, and that just so shows where our mindset was about this, that it was a one-off event. Like that's what we were thinking, and it wasn't until we were at Soul Camp and walking around and seeing what was happening and like just seeing the epiphanies and wake-ups that were happening all over and the bonds that were forming between everyone that we realized this is something more than just this one-off event. And we very quickly bought soul.camp, and the rest is history. But
what about your percentage of returning campers?
It's pretty high now. We have about like 50% that return.
That's incredible.
Really, really
nice
incredible.
Business model.
Yes.
And it's
who needs stinking Shark Tank?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, but it's become their home away from home. So just like when you're a kid and you go back to camp every year, this is what they're doing too. They come back to camp to see their camp friends, to see their favorite instructors, to see their favorite counselors. We're really giving that opportunity.
And it becomes a benchmark for people. So, you know, especially the New York and California camps we have at the same time every year. So if they come back, they're like, okay, like look at what happened throughout this year. And this is like the place to touch base with themselves and their community again once
a year. Is there a certain program or anything designed for returning campers to use that when you say benchmark, maybe their goals and possibly their milestones of where they've come?
Yeah, this year we're going to have alumni programming
specific
for the alumni. So that's something to be seen at the New York Sleepaway Camp and the California Sleepaway Camp. So very specific for them who are returning to just have that moment to reflect.
Now you've come together. It's been 4 years now?
Yep.
4 years. Did you ever anticipate the success? And when did you find out, short on time here, but when did you realize that you had something here that really works model-wise and that you should expand? And what was the first city after New York?
The first city after New York was California. We never expected this growth at all. I think the moment that we really realized that this was going to be something was when we were at the first camp. You know, we were planning for months and months and months. We got these incredible sponsors. But when you see it come to life and you see how people are craving this, they didn't want to leave. Like, they were like, when's the next one? They wanted to sign up for the next one. Like we said, we had no clue we were doing a next one. So we didn't have those signups. And we were like, oh, this is something here.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you're both the proprietors. How hands-on are you during the camp? Obviously, there are things that, you know, official tasks and housekeeping that needs to be done daily. But and when that's all done, where are you guys?
We are there riding around a golf cart, cheering everyone on. We have amazing staff. We have amazing counselors. We have amazing behind the scenes staff. So Allie and I are really able to be the camp directors at all of the camps and making the announcements, leading lineup at the flagpole, you know, which is such a fun thing for us. And we get to really be with the campers, be with the instructors, and not be worrying about all the behind the scenes because we have an amazing staff that can do that.
So who's the bugle player for Revelry?
The boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
Nice. Excellent. So now I imagine, obviously, both you are residing here in New York City.
Yes.
Two things. Number one, how many times have you, obviously, just naturally, because, you know, it's New York City, conversations just naturally happen, waiting for a bus and a cab, a taxi, bar, restaurant, et cetera, that obviously you find yourself a customer.
Find yourself a customer. Always.
Always. Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Always. And it's amazing because, you know, Allie and I still go to different retreats and go to different things and are able to be like, wow, this person did this amazing. Or, wow, look how these people brought everyone together and look at that customer service. We always say that, like, we model our customer service off of Disney. Right? Like that,
sure,
which is
yeah.
the best of the best.
But it's what you want to model after, but you want to have nothing reflective of them because they are so corporate.
Yeah. They're very corporate.
Anti-corporate. I'd say you're the Burning Man of camps.
People have said that, actually.
Yeah, people like the weekends sometimes overlap, but sometimes they're like one after another and people come from Burning Man Street to Soul Camp.
Yep.
Which is very funny.
So would you welcome and or entertain sponsors?
Yes. I mean, it needs to be aligned. We're very, very hypersensitive to making sure that everything feels very aligned and integrated into the camp experience. But yes, we are open.
And we are really picky about that. We haven't had a big sponsor, but we've seen companies that are led by sponsorship, and we see what we don't like about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get it financially because there's a lot of costs that go into putting on events, and we want to keep this real community together. So just finding that balance as we grow.
And finally, ladies, do you think I could Vikas dance? Is it Vikas?
Vikas is amazing. It's network care chiropractic. Have you ever? It's a type of chiropractic care that they don't actually touch you. It's all energy. It's amazing. They're actually here in New York City.
Isn't that like tantric sex?
I don't know too much about tantric sex,
Sting is actually coming in next after you. Michelle, Kelsey, why don't you bring that song in nice and slow here? Because we've got to end on Soul Camp, of course, right? Soul Camp with Soul Shine, Allman Brothers, of course.
Yay.
So, hands off, okay? That's good stuff. Well, guys, it's soul.camp, soul.camp. And Allie, parting words.
Parting words. Thank you so much for having us. My parting words are for everyone to find a small moment of play and fun today, because it is right in front of you if you look for it.
And Michelle, the other co-founder.
The other co-founder. I would say to remember, no matter what's happening in your life, that life is happening for you, not to you.
Outstanding. And also, I want to end on one final thing, is that you have a talent show. And
yes,
talent shows are remarkable, because when I was in camp in New Jersey at a blind and visually impaired camp, I actually learned how to play one song in 2 days, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and I can still jam that out.
That's amazing, Mark.
Like, incredible. So it's imagining incredible what we learned and how the bond that you formed together, obviously that came to fruition in full circle 15, 20 years later to create this incredible camp that's more than a camp. It's an enriching process for people to get away, to learn, and to become even a better person. Soul.camp, thank you very much to Allie and Michelle.
Thank you.
My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight. If you want to have me talk at your school, camp, organization, alternative program, college, corporation, or more, it's MarkFarrellMotivation.com, MarkFarrellMotivation.com. As always, thank you to Kelsey and to our program extraordinaire, Jesse. Have a great day.